Thanks for finding us.
I know it. Sorry, Lori.
Ah, Julia.
Lori met her new grandson.
I'm in love, Rocco. I'm in love in a way I've never been in love before. Honestly, my weekend claim to fame is I went to Chicago. Casey's daughter, my bonus girl, had her first child, the mighty, mighty Bruce. And we went there, and for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, up until yesterday, we went to the airport, spent three whole days holding, staring, smelling, and looking at a one-month-old baby. And I mean, oh, my God.
They're so sweet. Babies are so sweet. But I feel like you got the bug.
Well, you know what? It has been, okay, so I have like a thing with newborns. I've been afraid of them pretty much since my mom forced me, Rocco, in fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade to make me babysit the newborns of all of their poor Air Force friends that had one, two, three, four stripes. And I was terrified of newborns.
And then you got a newborn. I mean, how young?
I was 11 when my brother was born.
Yeah, so you had a newborn at 11 years old that you had to take care of too, kind of.
Yes, I was always afraid of dropping them, their heads, everything. And then I think I didn't really, I mean, of course, Casey's son has two wonderful, adorable kids, but we didn't go and spend 3 days.
Nonstop with them, day and night.
Day and night, yeah. You know, with
they
them.
They lived in the city.
I think the last time that I, like, spent time with, like, I think my my nice sister, when she had her first child, when he was like 2 months old, the parents went away for like an overnight, and I got to spend like 20, and he was just like the, I just like fell in love with him. But I think it's the combination of seeing Casey,
the man you love,
snuggling with this baby,
Bruce.
And he, I mean, it was so unbelievable. I mean, we did go out to eat a couple times, and the baby came with and everything, but they just live in a neighborhood. You walk out the door and there's restaurants and stuff. But I mean, I'm like admiring the downy hair on the back of his shoulders. I'm admiring his Popeye muscles that he's got just in his arms. You know, babies have those.
Oh, they have the cutest muscles. Yeah.
Of thing. And I mean, and Casey every morning holds the baby for 2 hours while mama sleeps and playing very softly Bruce Springsteen songs, Rocco.
Oh yeah,
Cadillac Born to Run, you know, everything. Rosalie, I mean,
that's just hysterical, Lori. Yeah, that's hysterical. We've got to get you, you know, you got to like the number one Bruce.
Well, you just don't meet a lot of Bruces anymore. No, it's not a modern name.
When I tell it to anybody, they're like, Bruce? And then they're like, that's a great name, but it's a pause. Because the old fashioned names are coming back.
I guess so. But anyway, it was.
Do they call it Brucey or anything?
Yeah, we've got little nicknames. You know, for them, but I mean, really, they just sleep and stretch and make noises.
Yes,
and very adorable, and to the point that my feet swelled up. It was so hot. Dear. Also in Chicago, I looked like a
Michelin foot baby.
Glamma. I had like the Frodo foot without the hair, the big gigantic adult toddler feet. They were huge.
Your feet.
Huge, because there's heat and inactivity leads a girl to a swollen foot.
Oh, Lori, did you bring the right shoes?
Swelling my shoes? Birkenstocks.
Yeah, the swelling shoes.
Yeah, I mean, but we just, I would have never guessed that we would have been so happy just staring, holding, smelling, snuggling.
It's so a baby sweet. For 3 whole it's days. So sweet.
Yeah, they really.
It's so sweet.
And Casey was just, you know, he gets his nose, he drags it across the baby's face, through the head. If the baby is grunting, Casey is grunting. He makes all the same sounds.
He becomes the same as the child. You know, he gets down at their level, though. He does this with the other ones. Like, we're going to be on the floor together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet, Lori.
Anyway, it was really, that was my weekend claim to fame, as I spent 3 days snuggling with the baby.
You it's know. So sweet.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And Casey and I were just like both this morning, oh my God, we're on an oxytocin high.
You know, it is the truth.
And I guess they are really only like that little once, so it does go by. So I feel very lucky that we, you know, and You know, Casey's daughter had a true pandemic baby.
Yes, she did.
The baby was born a month ago, right when everything was opening up again. And so her whole pregnancy was spent in the pandemic. And there were lots of babies, I noticed, at least in her neighborhood in Chicago.
There's born? Some,
yeah.
Pandemic babies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, but it's kind of a... It made me feel bad, like, for people who's, like, the kid was born a year ago and people couldn't, missed
oh,
out on all
imagine?
Of that, you know,
miss,
all
oh.
missing out on these things. So, you know, she feels lucky that she kind of got to be snuggled up during COVID, then has the baby when the world's coming back to
Absolutely.
Life, too. You know,
because
so,
you want people to come and visit and yes, see the baby.
Yes.
Oh, Lori.
So, anyway, super sweet. How about you guys? What did was your weekend claim to fame? Just trying to stay cool or
keeping the
outside?
Puppy cool?
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, nothing as exciting as hanging out with a
new
baby.
Boy. Well, oh. you have a puppy dog.
Yep. So he discovered our little we bought like
baby
a little
pool?
Kiddie pool last year.
Yeah.
And he discovered the joys of that. And it's pretty funny because our dog is kind of like this little fluff ball, but when he gets in the water, then like he looks like a little rat, like a little rat.
They
it's kind of funny. He's like, hey, dry off. You were a lot cuter before you
right.
jumped in the water.
Oh, gosh.
So you had puppy oxytocin.
Yes.
Yeah. And I had little sister oxytocin.
Oh, that's right. Your sister was here.
And some family oxytocin. Yeah, she came back from Montana for 36 hours. We got her.
Very nice.
And it was just enough. And it was just nice to see everybody. It's nice.
Right. It's been a year since everyone's been
together. And, you know, not in front of a space heater in a garage. We
right.
were in a back, you know, it was a lovely weekend. You know, you and I, this is our weather, Rocco. Lori's
like
feet
My
are
feet.
Changing the way we feel about it, but it's still.
But it was only because it was sitting.
Yeah.
And they had a beautiful deck and it was kind of shaded and stuff. So we were able to be outside. But as I'm sitting there, just, you know, with the baby, my feet are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger to the point that I was like, when I scrunched them, you know, I was like, whoa.
If you push on the top of her feet, it's like a Pillsbury Doughboy. Boof.
Poof. They come right back up. But anyway. Like oh, toddlers.
I know. They're toddler toes. They're thick on top.
But anyway, yeah, it was. I do the warm weather. But I will say on Saturday, we were going to go, you know, to Lake Michigan. And there was some music that was outside. But it was just too damn hot to take a baby out.
Oh, gosh, yes. Absolutely. You have to think differently. You have to think differently when a small child is there. I, on
it
the
just
other hand.
Felt like 96 oh. is not any kind of temperature to be, you know, schlepping a baby around.
No,
at.
It isn't.
You
but
know?
It was, if you didn't have a baby, I just rode with my roof open, my windows down, cranked the tunes, and I was
yeah.
just like, this is heaven.
Yeah.
I just love the heat.
August weather in June.
I know it.
It's
then,
making
of course,
some people happy and some people not.
It is. And of course, Windy Woodbury, Rocco, which you grew up in.
Yes.
I mean, holy cow, the winds yesterday.
Oh,
I had to like
I thought
jerry
you
rig.
Said Wendy yeah. Woodbury. I
no.
was like, who's that?
No, Wendy Woodbury. I had to jerry rig a lot of my plants not to push. They kept flying over. But it
that's
kept,
long been a thing. In
it's
Woodbury.
Been a thing. I put ceramic tiles now around all my pots. I mean, like, I'm trying to figure out a
what
way.
What is it about Woodbury that's so damn windy?
It's windy. Maybe we're up on a little bit of a hill. Maybe there's a slight incline. I don't know, but it was wicked windy yesterday and just craps of falling
all right.
over. But it's nice.
Listen, it is Prince's birthday today.
Happy
Even
birthday.
Even though he didn't celebrate his birthdays the last few years that he was alive because he was Jehovah's Witness.
Yes.
We can celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, it's our story we can't get enough of. Well, I'm not saying I'm going to start matchmaking for the mighty Bruce of Chicago to be dating a little girl who was born on Friday, Lilibet
yeah.
Diana Mountbatten Windsor.
But you girl can dream.
A girl could dream. Archie now has a sister, Lilibet Diana. Okay, Archie now has a sister. Archie and Betty.
Oh, gosh, that's so, that's right.
Because they named him Archie Harrison, no Archibald.
Right, he is
He's
Archie.
Archie, yeah. But anyway, so here's a story. I feel very hopeful for the family. I think there's nothing that will bring a family that's been slightly torn asunder by racial undertones and backstabbing than maybe a brand new baby. So here's Aaron from NBC News.
This morning, a new addition to the Sussex family. A baby girl named Lilibet Diana Mountbatten Windsor, or Lily for short, joining two-year-old big brother Archie. Meghan and Harry making the surprise announcement Sunday, saying Lily was born Friday morning, weighing 7 pounds, 11 ounces, at this hospital in Santa Barbara near the couple's California home. Far away from Windsor Castle, where baby Archie was first introduced to the Queen and the world in 2019. The couple saying in a statement about their new baby girl, "She is more than we could have ever imagined." Baby Lily now expected to be eighth in line to the throne, her first name honoring her great-grandmother, Queen Elizabeth, whose family nickname is Lilibet. Her middle name, a tribute to her beloved late grandmother, Princess Diana. The royal family releasing a short joint statement saying they're delighted. Prince Charles and Camilla, as well as the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, also sending their congratulations.
We know there has been a rift within this family. Can the naming of Lily be seen as an olive branch of sorts?
Whether it's an olive branch, I think it's also about the couple wanting to perhaps remind the world that they still have these very strong royal ties.
Yes, they do. And I would say that indeed, I appreciate the flex from Harry and Meghan about naming this biracial granddaughter of Queen Elizabeth with a name because, you know, she, Queen Elizabeth is the matriarch of the British royal family, the longest reigning queen. And to have that name given to this little girl is really quite.
And it was her nickname. It was her sweet nickname.
That's right. And it, the thing is that it, I would call it a low key power move. Harry asked his grandmother, "We would like to name her Lilibet. We would call her Lily."
And you know this
because
he called you last week.
No, the royal Buckingham Palace has confirmed this because people were being so awful.
Oh, gosh.
The British press was already maligning this little baby who's not even a week old for being rude to the Queen. And royal sources have confirmed that Harry called Queen Elizabeth before Meghan gave birth and said, "We would like to name her that. And we, you know, are you happy about it?" And the Queen gave her a blessing to that. And then, of course, Lilibet Diana.
After that,
I like that both Charles and the Cambridges used the word delighted.
Yes.
They even used an exclamation point. Mm-hmm. They congratulated Archie. But it's, you know, Lily is a biracial person who's carrying on the nickname of the longest reigning British monarchy in history. And for a family and country with a legacy of colonization, it's a nice flex, and it's a good thing to be reminded of, because just as of yesterday, somebody had tweeted, and it was getting a lot of play online. Now, remember, Harry announces this yesterday.
Okay.
What a missed opportunity. They could have called the baby Georgina Floydina.
Oh, my word.
It's terrible. Prince, of course, Piers Morgan has already attacked.
Okay, here's one thing I have to say, Lori, because we know that you are, we know everyone knows you are all about this. You know, this is, but for
I
me.
I love Harry.
I know
and
you
Meghan,
do.
And I love, we've loved Harry for such a long time, with such fondness
you
for him.
You are more in love with him than me.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love him, okay? But I did read some headlines over the weekend, and I was shocked at the announcement of a baby's birth, how negative they all were. And Piers Morgan is one of the most negative men.
Mm-hmm.
Just outrageously negative. And I'm like, come, this is just a baby. This is like the happiest time in people's life. There should not be one. Just happiness. Happy. It's a baby. We're happy. Why do we have to be negative? But they really go after everything so negative. The British press is something like we've never seen anywhere else. I mean, they are something.
And I mean, Harry and Meghan have really gotten just like, I mean, they're the treatment of it, because there's so much of it. At the heart of all of it is the racial overtones, undertones,
right,
you know, whatever you want to call it. I mean, basically, the Daily Mail wrote a column. They're furious. Harry has disrespected the monarchy because his children are American citizens. I mean, Piers Morgan, you know, just unhinged this lady.
Piers Morgan is unhinged.
And
I think
he is
that's
unhinged.
The best. And he's
unhinged.
It's, You know when people just have something that they can't see through? It's like he has this Meghan Markle thing right in front of him. Like he has, he can't see past his hatred.
And remember, in Harry's own words, he said he's spoken more to his grandmother in the last year than he has his entire life. Because he had to get down and dirty and real and talk to her in a way that we see from the crown. The queen likes to skate on the surface of feelings.
Absolutely.
And Prince Philip called her Lilibet. Her mom called her Lilibet. Her sister called her Lilibet. And her dad called her Lilibet. And at Prince Philip's funeral, there's no one to call her Lilibet, but now there's another little Lilibet who will carry. That means something to be named after a great grandparent or a grandma. You know what I mean? I mean, Rocco, you've named a kid, but there is meaning to a name to carry on your family and where you fit into it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just beyond sweet.
I do too.
And the queen, royal sources coming out and letting people know that Harry discussed it with her, Queen Elizabeth I, is her putting her foot down and saying, I want it to be known that we discussed it.
Yeah.
To put an end to all that talk.
Yeah.
In a way that...
This is my 11th great-grandchild. Stop.
But like in a way that they didn't want to do with like Meghan Markle stories Great-grandma felt protective. It's a great, lovely name. And
it's a Lily.
Lily. Mm-hmm. And apparently...
Lori was going to have kids that were going to be Lily and Jack.
I know. I used to
I remember this from when I met you.
Oh, I know.
I mean, 30
Rocco,
years.
Really.
30 years. And then
now you pick out a name.
You pick out a name and then people like own them. Like you can't name your kids that. And my sister had Benji and my sister had kids after all of us. And she's like, she had Benji and another good name. And I'm like, well, can't have those. I mean, but people claim them. They go, oh, wait,
that's
I'm putting
right.
my hand in the sand here. These are my names.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they've chosen a name for their daughter and she's already a change maker and it's a very sweet thing. And I am just bursting.
I want to see a picture
with joy that Queen Elizabeth instructed her palace sources to let them know.
Oh, that's good.
Because that was already taking a big thing about how disrespectful Harry was to co-op his grandmother's name. But she is shutting that down. And the Cambridges and Prince Charles used the word delighted with exclamation marks. So I feel very hopeful, you know, because Harry's supposed to go home like in a month for the unveiling of his mom's statue at Kensington Garden. And I think, you know, I think I hope Meghan is able to go.
So
I hope they get a private plane.
And
I hope they go and then everyone can smell Lilibet, Lily, Diane. I mean, you know, and everyone will feel really good about it. You know, it'll be very healing. And Kate's already working on William.
I know. I love this. I love this, Lori. Lori, this is going to be one thing that we're going to need to see happen.
Yes, we need.
This is going to be a goal.
Yeah, I mean, because also yesterday, the one of the, I think it was the Sun, basically said the British monarchy is depending on Lilibet Diana because she's like 9th or 10th in line and her being an American citizen. I mean, like she would ever be.
No, I know. I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
A chance that, it's ridiculous. So anyway, congratulations, Harry.
Great name.
And Meghan.
Yeah, no kidding.
And don't forget, Meghan's other baby's coming out this week. Her children's book, The Bench.
Well, thank you for announcing it. Lori's going to do a book review on that on Friday.
I'm going to do a book review next, though.
You read a hot book. All right, we'll be right back. It's Lori and Julia and my talk.
Perfect song, Rocco, for the book review that I have. So, okay, so, you know, one of the unpraised things that we did not appreciate Donnie Love for was his amazing ability to get the books that we would tear out of People magazine or the Star Tribune and say,
book
get
this.
This author, book this author on. And he would get us fantastic authors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anyway.
Julia has been doing that role for the last almost year.
That's right. And no idea how complicated, complex, time-consuming, everything else that it is.
And this book that you're going to give us the review on is one I have gone after. I have sent more emails, more text messages, and got nothing.
Yeah, she may be the hottest author on the planet.
The sore spot for me, Lori.
It's Taylor Jenkins Reid. I'll hold it up for people who might be watching on the old good old YouTube.
You know who you are.
But
look at Lori on YouTube today. For today, I forgot to shower. Okay. So
anyway, it's called Malibu Rising, and it's by Taylor Jenkins Reid. The book just came out last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I know you started trying like 3 months ago.
Lori was longer than that. I have post-it notes up there. It's a sore spot for me.
I know it is. And the thing is that I discovered Taylor in Hawaii.
Yes.
I picked up at Barnes & Noble a trade paperback, and I was taken with the cover. It was a beautiful woman in a green silk ball gown with like gloves over her arms, jewelry, and it said Hollywood. It had a couple of great blurbs, but it was the cover that just got me. And it was called The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
And she wrote that. I thought she wrote Daisy and the Six.
She also wrote Daisy Jones and the Six. So read Evelyn, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
I didn't know she wrote that too.
Come home from Hawaii, you know, tell you about it. Saved the trade back, you know, paperback for you. Just, it was an intoxicating book, Rocco. Just everything we love. Reads like fiction. It is fiction, but it's Hollywood. It's got sex. It's got romance. It's really well written, you know. So I'm like, okay, her next book. And I could have sworn we had her on for Daisy Jones and the Six.
We didn't. I'll never forget when you came home.
Are you sure we didn't?
You came home talking about it and you sat and said the whole time it was on a Hawaii trip and you said, I thought it was a true story. And you had to
go. No, not this one. I told you Evelyn Hugo. I also thought it was, but mm-hmm. Daisy Jones, I think that Donnie booked her. If we were to look back at our book club, like maybe 3 years ago, Taylor Jenkins Reid was on our show for Daisy Jones and the Six. And yes, Rocco, it is a story that reads like it's about a real life band at the Troubadour. You think when you're reading it, I'm going to have to Google some of these songs.
Right.
You think it's about a real band. Taylor is such a good writer.
What is this book about?
Reese optioned Daisy Jones and the Six.
Yes, she did.
And that is being filmed. Okay. So this book,
Malibu Rising.
I read the book you gave to me, Unpack the Letters or whatever. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. I finished that book because, Julia, sometimes, you know, Casey, you know, was holding the baby and I was reading.
What else are you supposed to do?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But anyway.
When the baby sleeps, you have to get things done.
Yeah. I was reading.
Yeah.
So I read this book that you gave me for our show.
Pack Up the Moon.
Pack Up the Moon. And it's just loved that. But I'm like panicked because
I've got time.
It's Sunday. Mm-hmm. Or no, it's Saturday afternoon and I don't have a book.
Right. And this is a true feeling. This panic feeling when you don't have something new to read.
Yeah. I don't want to read my phone.
No.
I want to just enjoy.
Escape.
In between holding the baby, I want to enjoy a book. And so Roscoe Books was like Kitty Corner from...
And this is in Chicago?
In Chicago. Cute little local bookstore. And I go in and I see Ellen Hildebrand, Golden Girl.
That another source spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. they don't know that she loves us and she wants to be on our show. Taylor's only been on our show once. She doesn't realize what a passionate reader of her I
am. Rocco, do you see how we feel about these people? They don't care about us like we care about them.
But, so I see there's one copy of Malibu Rising. And do you see that signed copy? Because I think that's one thing that like a lot
they're doing for local bookstores.
Yes.
Authors are for local bookstores.
You know, and it was the last copy, and I'm talking to the lady who's working at the store. I said, oh, I'm so glad you made it. You know me, I always try and pretend I'm right from there. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you made it through the winter and your store's here. Like, I'm a concerned neighbor.
Lori
and
wants I am to for 3 days. Local. Yeah.
I am for 3 days a concerned neighbor, Rocco. I made the girl promise me she would never. You've got this amazing bookstore. They had an amazing children's section. I love a local bookstore.
I do. Of course we do.
Anyway, I get the last copy. There were 10 of them. They got 10 in on Tuesday. I got the last one on Saturday afternoon. So people are reading. I finished this book in 24 hours, basically, Malibu Rising.
What's it about?
It is about, okay, it's Malibu. It's August. It's 1983. It's the day of Nina Riva's famous Malibu party. And she's a surfer swimsuit model with an incredible figure, dazzling figure. I mean, I was like getting horny for her reading the description. Her brother is a championship surfer. Other brother, Hud, and they're all named like Hud and Kit and Nina and Jay, and their dad is world famous Mick Riva, who's like a cross between Elvis and like a Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
Maybe Tom Jones. Maybe Tom Jones and Elvis.
Okay.
But he's a crooner who started in the... Anyway, but the story is all told basically over 24 hours in Malibu, but with just like in Daisy Jones and the Six, or if you read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, with flashbacks to other characters, like her dad, yeah, her mom, you know, to their characters. Perfect. To build this layered confection of a story. I mean, Julie, I'm afraid when I give it to you, you will fall down the rabbit hole.
I want to.
And you won't come up for air because it's so juicy. She does reference, name check, Celia St. James.
And we...
Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Right. Oh, gosh.
And, but it's about family and secrets and fame. And, you know, it's like a dazzling.
Do I want to listen to that on my drive to Montana? Do I want to wait and have someone tell me the story?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Take a listen. Do you have to buy it first? Can you taste sample it?
I could sample it.
Like the voice.
It sounds so good, Laurie.
Oh, it is. And, you know, there's so there's surfing stuff in it. There's Malibu in the 80s. There's also the whole thing about dads that can't keep their pecker in their pants, you know, whether it's fame, whether it's from surfing, whether it's from music. But there's a lot of people who monogamy becomes difficult for men. Men can, in a way, walk away so much more easily than a woman. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, her parents, Nina, who's really, I guess, our protagonist.
Right.
She's the oldest daughter, and her mom and dad marry and divorce twice. And, you know, she's like 19 when she marries Mick Riva, right as he turns famous at 23. You know, so yes, it's like that kind of a... You know, how it's, they have boom, 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 the kids.
You loved and it.
I loved
hands
it.
Hands down.
Hands down.
I love a book that you can't put down.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Well, we've heard so much about this, and it just has such a sore spot because I've wasted so much time on emails and post-it notes. And
I guess, you know, and I read, you know, I went back to Taylor. She's got a very new glamorous headshot for her book.
Oh, yes.
You know,
she kind of looks like Isabella Rossellini.
She does. She does. And I think she's got a husband and a daughter. And I feel like she's, you know, she even in her acknowledgments, I'm a different writer today than I was 2 years ago, because The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo was like her third or fourth novel. But that book exploded. Then the Daisy Jones, yes, and Wreath. I mean, yes, it's multiple languages. You know, she's made a lot of money now, and she's probably, maybe she's one of the authors who doesn't really like talking to radio talk show ladies who have a book club such as ours. But I thought I don't care. It made me, and you can follow her because she does, you can. It says to contact Penguin Random House for speaking engagements.
Oh, please. do you know where Penguin Random House, and we have friends there.
Speakers at.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Lori, they sent me to Ballantyne and said, oh, it's not her, it's her who does it. And then I fell up with her.
It is right here in her book.
Well, we didn't have the book. It just came out last Tuesday. I worked so hard to try to get this person on. This one just makes me mad.
What
if you
were going about it all wrong?
Well, for the last year,
we did have a lot of good
books.
Yeah, we have had a lot of good books.
And too many, as far as I'm concerned. Okay. 2 a week, we're cutting back because it's just too much. But I feel like some of them...
We got rock blocked on this one because she's just simply a huge author.
Yeah, I know.
Jenna picked her, Jenna, who took whatever. Our book club idea, just, you know.
Everyone steals from us. Julia. They just got in there and hogged. Those national shows like the Today Show.
Please support your local bookstores. I mean, honestly.
Malibu Rising is the book. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. And, you know, pay. And
what was the last great book you read, Taylor? Think and Read.
That's right.
And she's going to say something that's coming up on our show next.
And, okay, Rocco, I know Julia's been to Malibu. Have you ever been to Malibu?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so there is something magical about Malibu, and do you know how many years there have been fires in Malibu? It goes back over 100 years. It is fire central.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of how the book starts out, is listing Malibu catches fire. It is simply what it does from time to time. Tornadoes take the flatlands of the Midwest. Floods rise in the American South. Hurricanes rage against the Gulf of Mexico. And California burns. Burned back in 500 BC. It burned in 1800. It caught fire in 1903 when one couple owned the whole stretch of land, which is now Malibu. Frederick and May Ringe. Now, I don't know if this is true. This is the page one of the book.
This is the way it starts.
Malibu caught fire in 1917, 1929. First movie stars got there. It caught fire in 56 and 58 when the longboarders and beach bunnies trickled to its shore. It caught fire in 1970 and 1978 after the hippies settled in the canyon. It caught fire in 1982, 1985, and 93, 96, 2003, 2007. It is Malibu's nature to burn, and then the story begins. Oh, so good. So it really paints this very vivid, how different Malibu is with all of its little coves. It references, you know, the place where Paradise Cove, where the, you know, $1 million trailer park is. Rocco, have you ever eaten at Paradise Cove? That restaurant?
Yes.
Where you can sit outside and your feet in the sand.
And Marilyn Poe's there. It's kind of, and you see all the trailers that are above it, and people are like, oh yeah, that those are like $2 million to lease those. You know, it's just, but you can see just it's 27 miles of kind of incredible coastline with canyon on the other side of the road and just one road.
Lori. So, all right, read the book, Malibu Rising.
Malibu Rising. That's
what we got to go. Support your local bookstores is the other big thing.
We got to go. We got to call Chris Riebenschneider. We do. We'll talk music.
We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You got to thank Chris Riebenschneider for that great bumper music. That's Kiss the Tiger singing Motel Room. Oh, my God. Do we love that song?
Yeah, that whole album is just a fantastic album. I mean, it's just straight up rock. You don't have to describe it too heavily. It's just straight up rock and roll. The front woman, Megan Creedler, she's just this dynamic. She comes out of a theater background, so she's just got this natural stage energy that, you know, it's almost like Freddie Mercury. Explosive.
Hi, Chris. When are we going to be able to see Kiss the Tiger play somewhere?
They are playing every Thursday in the month of June at Ice House. Ice House is one of the venues that has a real nice patio set up. And for a while there, it was looking like, you know, that was going to be some of the biggest thing of summer almost.
Right.
And then, lo and behold, a switch was flipped. Mm-hmm. We're full on heading into the rock and roll season here in the coming weeks. It's amazing. But still go see Kiss the Tiger. Highly recommend it at Ice House because those are going to be great shows.
I love it. Okay, so tell us some of the stuff because you had a great story last week about just stuff that was going on. And we're like, oh, we got to have Chris on. And you just got to tell us as much as you can in your time what's coming up.
Yeah. It's you can kind of break it up into three categories. You have these outdoor shows like Ice House, things that were already being planned. Mm-hmm. Ice House, some of the amphitheaters, you know, like the casino amphitheaters have some shows this summer.
Right.
That's all happening basically through summer. Then you have indoor shows at like venues like the Turf Club, the Fine Line. Those are starting up in July. And those are mainly with just local bands. It's basically the acts they could book on short notice. For midsummer. And then come September, even starting with somewhat in August, that's when the touring acts really start up again. And that's when you're seeing the Palace Theater, the First Avenue Main Room, even the arenas. There's even arena shows on for September and beyond. So, and you know, for a while there, some of that stuff was already on the books, but we didn't know it was going to happen. And,
right.
And it's happening. It's full on at this point. So, super exciting.
Yeah.
Although I'm still not sure if I can be used to staying out late.
Well, Chris, I know you stayed in for, you know, because
we've
you
all stayed in,
but you, whose life was, you know, reviewing music and going out to concerts every night. I mean, what are you thinking about getting back out there every night again?
I'm worried I'm going to be able to handle it. I know a lot of people are actually, and these outdoor shows that are happening now are kind of a good in between thing because they all naturally have to end at 10 o'clock because
right.
of noise ordinance kind of stuff. So that's been kind of a good lesson on good primer on getting back to it. But yeah, once we're doing the past midnight thing, I don't know. Good luck.
Yeah, right.
I love the early hours personally.
Yeah, I seriously wonder if promoters shouldn't actually think about at least for the first few months adjusting the start times to be a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
We'll see. Well, I like that. Like, because I saw that. I think I don't know. You must have tweeted about Teen and the B-Sides playing at the Turf Club, and I just thought, you know, because I'm so glad to see like stuff like that happening. Because as far as I'm concerned, some of our local bands we don't get to see often enough.
Yeah, no, it's great for everyone in the community that these shows are happening because the local bands need the money and the venues needs you know all of a sudden the venues got a green light to book shows and. You know, the local bands are stepping up, so it's good for everyone. Yeah, the Turf Club in particular, because the Turf Club was damaged in the riots after the George Floyd's killing. You know, it's along University Avenue, so it was that particular band
right.
of chaos. And somebody broke in and tried to start a fire, and they had new sprinklers in there. They rebuilt the place in 2013, so it was a nice sprinkler system. But there was so much bad stuff going on that night that nobody could turn off the sprinklers, so they had really bad water damage.
Okay.
So that's been under repair for the better part of the year, and they're finally going to reopen. And they got July 7th through 10th, they got to run a really great show. Dessa's playing two nights. Another great kind of younger local band called Night Moves are playing. And then later in July, they got a lineup of club vets, including Teen and the B-Sides. Martin Zeller of the Gear Daddies is playing one night there at the Turf in late July, and Run Westy Run's doing a night. So, and then right around that time is when the 7th Street Entry and Fine Line are reopening too, and those are all with local bands too. I was interviewing one of the acts playing the 7th Street Entry, Monica LaPlante. She played the outdoor thing at the Hook and Ladder. Over Memorial Day weekend, so I was interviewing her to write about her before that. So this was the day that Governor Waltz announced the rollbacks of the you know the guidelines,
right?
And she had just gotten her vaccine that morning, her second vaccine. The ordinance was rolled, all the guidelines were rolled back, and then right in the middle of our interview, she got a text from a booker at First Avenue, and which was basically asking if she wanted to play this 7th Street Entry show. So it's just this confluence of like, oh my God,
yeah,
everything is starting again.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It really is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, Chris, like, are we going to have like the concerts at Mears Park? Are we going to get that kind of music back?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that starts up this Thursday. And in fact, I have a story running on the leadoff artist is Lady Midnight. She's phenomenal. I can't recommend seeing her enough. She's just this fantastic kind of electronic R&B singer. She just has this real mishmash of styles.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a great start to what's really a great series. And that's free, you know,
right.
which is great because, you know, a lot of people have, we're out of work or weren't able to save up money over this thing. So, there's affordable options to get out there too. And that's definitely a good one. It's called the Lower Town Sounds as they renamed the series Lower Town Sounds, but New Standards are playing that. Actually, I think, Kiss the Tiger is playing that. Annie Mack's playing that. The Flamin' O's, High Respects, lots of just great talent.
And that's every Thursday night.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, God, I love those acts for putting on those free shows. I mean, they need to make money too, but this, right. Well, and they do get money through sponsorship at right. those shows, but they could be making more in venues, but yeah. it's great. They're doing this for fans locally.
Yeah.
And even the Jayhawks who can fill the Palace Theater at $30 a head, they just announced a free show at, Lake Harriet Bandshell on, I believe it's August 12th.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's a beautiful thing too. That's just yeah. Just
Chris, we gotta go. We gotta have you back. We want people to follow you or buy the paper. Thank you.
To do, yeah.
All right, follow Chris R at Strib Shoot.